there is a value to what obviously clients provide and what they do, right? And there's a value to what we do and what we provide for them, right? To help them get to where they want to go. You know, I guess it's kind of under the umbrella of once we get them to where they need to go and are successful.
Yeah.
It's time to, you know, fly away, little dog.
Kids are, yeah. I was going
And we're back, Rob, episode 157.
157.
157.
All you can say about 157. It's just kind of another number. There's nothing.
No, we say this at the beginning of every episode. There's not like there's nothing until we hit 175, you know? So
some sort of cultural reference. I got nothing.
Let me put this out there. Does it even matter what episode number it is? Does it even matter?
Well, I like to believe that there are a lot of fans that are chomping at the bit for the next episode, and they may be like, oh my God, 157's out.
Yeah.
Well, 157's out.
There's definitely something to that. There's the, you know, we got to organize things somehow. We're humans. We have to like put things in boxes and put them in chronological order, and we're obsessive about order, you know? So
numeric. What else are you going to do?
I don't know.
All right. Well, you might think that today's topic of discussion is a bummer. I'll tell you what it is, but it's actually not a bummer.
Okay.
Right?
I'm here for it.
I thought today we would talk about breaking up with clients. We're going to call it, breaking up with clients.
Okay.
Now, sometimes that can be this a positive thing.
This is a little, yeah, is this it's not taboo. This is salacious.
No, this is the real world that we live in.
Yeah, right? Totally.
And I would venture to guess that, you know, oftentimes companies, depending on the circumstance, but, you know, as their agencies, be it design or advertising or otherwise, oftentimes we are the first to go.
Yeah.
We're the low hanging fruit when it comes to budget, or reorgs happen or budgets get tightened or operations get, you know, centralized or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, we are the first ones on the chopping block.
Sure.
I'm curious.
What do you think that is? Let me do a quick timeout. Why do you think that is? Just out of curiosity.
It's a fair question. I think it's because oftentimes, and I think especially more and more so, sometimes, depending on the work that we're doing for them, sometimes it is difficult to give a hardline ROI.
Yeah.
Right? In the type of work that we do, right?
Sure, sure.
If somebody says, hey, we spent, you know, on graphic design, we spent, let's say, you know, $50,000 redoing their identity and da-da-da-da, it's difficult for internally for them or an outside consultant or whomever to come in and go, okay, well, that $50,000 generated X amount of revenue. And I think more and more companies are being held accountable. Data is so much more available.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right answer, but that's an answer. I think sometimes it's difficult to quantify the type of work that we do.
Sure.
I would say, what would you say?
I think it's a variety pack of there is no one silver bullet, of course, you know, as to why marketing, you know, gets cut initially. But I think from an agency perspective, or, you know, we've always hammered on the fact that it is a relationship and trust-based business, and you do your best business when there's trust, right? I think to a certain extent, to piggyback off what you're saying about it's hard to quantify exactly what we do, right? We are also coupled with being siloed with only one corner of the executive leadership team, right?
That's correct.
And I think we have a great relationship potentially with team members and directors and things on ELTs, right? But then they have to then go and explain that to the rest of the ELT as to why they need XYZ money, right? And I think a lot of people, you know, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but like it is sometimes the internal sell can fail, right? In terms of trying to explain why it's justified in the money versus like operations or human headcount. And, you know, there's other things that universally everybody can can understand in principle, right?
Yeah.
But it's much easier to go, hey man, give that department a 30% whackaroo. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then just expect everything to still keep going. You know what I mean? Like, right. Oh, we're going to increase sales, but we're going to cut all this. Like, it's, you know, right. Like people don't really understand that. It's very interesting. So.
Well, I think also too, you're right. It's a relationship, relationship based business that we're in. And a lot of times too, you'll have, a new CMO comes in and goes, nope, I'm going to, yeah. I have my preferred.
Yeah. They have trust with another team. Yeah.
And trust with another team, outside of just, you know, strictly budgets being cut.
Sure.
You'll have that. And the good news there is we have such great relationships that when when the former CMO lands somewhere else, hopefully they do the same for us and take us elsewhere.
For sure.
I think.
Anyway, I interrupted your train of thought though with the question. So
I don't know where I was going with that, other than say, and sometimes it's. I think also too, in general, our relationships are, there's obvious exceptions to anything, but they're oftentimes not long-term relationships, right? I mean, we have great clients that we've had for, a decade or more, sure. But oftentimes they come in and it's a 2-year, 3-year, relationship, and then boom, somebody goes to another place or da-da-da-da-da. And then sometimes I feel like, and especially maybe with a shop of our size, I don't know, you might not agree with this, but as companies grow, we're really good at taking companies from here to here. And at some point along the way, they outgrow us.
Sure.
Right. And that can be in terms of just pure headcount, right? Meaning sometimes companies get bigger and bigger, they're like, no, we need more bodies to be doing things. And we can argue whether or not that's, apropos or not. But that certainly happens. And I think in the case of, the client that I was thinking of in particular, we're not going to name any names, of course, but it was just that. It was, we had a great, I'm going to call it 6-year relationship with this particular client, and took them from, we were incredibly successful working with them and took them from here to here, really, over those 6 years. Yeah. And I think it got to a point where, it was a classic case of, here comes the consultant.
Sure.
And, we always go, well, that's never good when the consultant comes in. So the consultant came in and all of a sudden it feels like, I don't want to say we felt marginalized. That seems extreme, but in a way sometimes it feels like that. But it's, hey, we need to cut this and we need to cut this and we need to cut this. But we want to keep you guys on. We want to keep the relationship going just under this different set of criteria.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, what's important is the power of saying no, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think as you're growing your agency over the years, there's a fear of saying no, right? Because you're like, well, no, I can't turn down business. I can't turn down business.
Yeah.
But you get to a point where, you've had this great success, you've had this good relationship, and then all of a sudden you're being asked to do things that are potentially slightly unreasonable from our point of view. Sure. And the nature or dynamic of the relationship changes. And you just have to say, I think we're done. It's not you, it's me.
And right? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like
absolutely.
Breaking up with your high school sweetheart, right? Which is, it's not you, it's not you, it's me. Let's still be friends.
Hey, for me, I think it was just everybody went off to college. You know what I mean?
Everybody went off to college. So,
Yeah.
We tried to make it work for a few months and it just come Christmas time.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's I think that we are very authentic in who we are. And I think that there's truth in what you're saying in regards to, we have our sweet spot, right? And we have we're very good at our things, right? And we have some clients we've had for 15 years, and we've spoken about, hey, our methodology, the way that we work. And once clients get used to the way that we work, right, they love the way that we work and they can't go anywhere else. That's part of the trust, right? But to your earlier point about, hey, some clients we have for a year or two, and that's because they don't need everything that we do for them every single year. We're not going to rebrand a company redo all of their packaging and redo all of their, it's like, okay, we did it. That was awesome. You know, Here's your 200 SKUs to go into retail. Here's your global brand standards guideline. Here are all your files. Here's all your stuff. Like, we're still here, but you don't.
But you don't really need us for anything.
You're not going to do that again. You know what I mean? I mean, so there are some clients or some projects where it's, hey, if we do a really great job, we work ourselves out of our own business to a certain extent, right? Because it's like, hey, you don't need. You know, a brand new website every year, right? If we do our job appropriately, it should last for a number of years, right? So it is, you know, yeah, we have our sweet spot and we have our, hey, we get people from here to here. And that's because we have done the work on the authenticity of what makes us successful and what we do really well. And that's what we share with clients, right? We were just on I know we're not talking about this, but we were just on a discovery call with a client who's at their 5-year anniversary trying to figure out who they are, right?
Right.
And I don't know if you thought about this, because we obviously didn't mention it on the call with the client there, but I was thinking about when we did that for us as well, where it's like, hey, we've been in business for 5 years. Who we are, you know, the market is dictating kind of who we are versus us telling people who the market, right. You know, who we are to the market, right? And they were talking about lack of clarity, not people not knowing who they are. If you asked, you know, all these different people what they do, they'd give them different answers. And it's like, man, that is exactly what most companies go through, but also what we went through, right?
Yeah.
And then that helped shape who we are and what we're good at and what we can do, right? Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, that works really, really well for a continual, you know, retainer-based client where, you know, this is what you need. This is what we do. Bam. This is a great marriage, you know? But, you know, to your point, hey, a consultant comes in and wants to maybe start changing things and start, you know, operational efficiency type scenario and stuff like that. And the power of no is a good thing for everybody, right? Yeah. Because it's, hey, you're not now in a bad relationship, but it's also, you know, hey, this is what's best for you, but it's also what's best for us, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, not to get too armchair psychologist, but it's like,
hey, bring it.
Like anything else, we'll use the relationship analogy, the high school sweetheart analogy. But like, it kind of hurts at first. And you're like, it's better in the long run. And then you can, you know, you take a minute, you take a beat, and sit with it for a little bit, and then you go, you know what? This is something to be proud of. This is a great run. And you know, you look back on it fondly, and it was
totally.
Everybody agrees it was super successful. It just was time to part ways.
Yeah, we haven't we've been very fortunate, I think, over the years to not really have to deal with that situation too often. There was one other one, which I'm sure we've told this story at some point in 157 episodes about letting go of our biggest client at the time. Right. But it had to be done. Right?
It had to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is different than that, but that was like, yeah, we've been through three different director. Like it was a bad relationship, you know, bad girlfriend. Right. And that was scary for a different reason, but that, you know, that one had to go, but everything was better on the other side of that. You know,
that's right. So, hard to see at the moment sometimes, but it always is. But I think also too, you know, you and I were just talking about, what's it called? Savannah Banana? Can of Banana?
Oh, Nano Banana.
Nano Banana. Yeah.
Nano Banana, the Gemini AI.
It's Gemini's, Google's AI image creation tool.
Yeah.
But I think that's also true. I think in this day and age, you're going to see more and more of, if I'm predicting the future, you're absolutely going to see more companies bringing teams in house, because they feel like, oh, we've got all these great tools, and we can do all of this stuff in house.
Yeah.
And that's not to argue that point, because I think that, absolutely, they will be able to do that, because it will enable them to do a lot of things in-house. Now, that's not to put us out of business.
There's always been in-house teams forever.
But I think you're going to see more of that, just based on all the tools that are coming out and the technology and everything that's happening. I mean, you just are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a level of acceptable quality. Right. And you get an internal team and it's good enough. Right. A photographer we use all the time that I know I've quoted before, you know, mediocrity is the new excellence. right? And a lot of AI tools will only get better, right?
Right.
But it is just mediocrity, but it is acceptable, right? What the future of our business is, who knows? I mean, maybe it's more in the strategic consulting and the outside perspective. It's not just...
I think that's what it is.
It's not just production and design anymore, because that will be kind of relegated, you know. But it's everywhere and it's acceptable. I got an email from my school superintendent administrator, and it was 4 or 5 paragraphs of garbledygook, nothing. Right.
Right.
The first thing I did was I put it into AI detector. This is the superintendent of an entire school district, right? Came back 54% AI generated.
Yeah.
Right. It's just acceptable now. You know, this is the superintendent of who is educating our children. You know what I mean? But it was, wow, you know, so, you know, nano banana, which by the way, goes to prove that you could literally name anything now.
Like, nano banana.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter what you name anything. You know, if you can get away with being a multi-trillion-dollar company and name your thing, you know, nano banana, right?
Yeah. Well, MailChimp.
I mean, yeah. Well, MailChimp, but look, when MailChimp started, it was all like chimpanzees and monkeys and apes and bananas,
right,
and stuff. You know what I mean? And at least it had mail in it, right? And
that's,
right.
You know, at least it had mail in it.
Yeah. Nano banana. I mean, my word, you know. I kind of lost myself on my own train of thought here, but
talking about the mediocrity.
The mediocrity of being the new X, like some of that internal production stuff is just going to go internal, right? There is a, you know, clients will always have a value sense or a tipping scale, right? Of, hey, how many people are actually working on my business? Should I bring those people in house or not? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I've got an agency team that has 7 people working on my business every single day. You know, have a fixed cost, right? I don't have to pay for their benefits and their health, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's totally a value, right? Versus when does that tipping point occur to, I can deal with the lack of quality, right? Yeah. And then also, by the way, someone has to manage all those people, but it's more cost effective to bring it in-house, you know?
I mean, so. I think what you're going to see, since we're going down this path, is you will see a lot of lower level agency work being brought in-house. And here's what I mean by that. If you're a social agency, you're absolutely using AI to write social posts.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that's, you shouldn't do that. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Of course you should do that. That's a new tool and you can use it and use it effectively.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to have, I think the value is going to be in more senior level ideation, right?
Yeah.
And you know, if you think about it from an advertising standpoint, it's going to be the ideas and the experts that come in with the ideas. And then I think from a high level, like graphic design perspective, it's going to be companies that appreciate and understand that design tools like AI and whatever else are not designers. There's a distinction between designers and design tools, right?
Well said. Yeah.
AI
well said.
Doesn't understand the science and art behind typography.
Sure.
It can spit out something, but it's all what you're feeding it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you're not a designer and you're not a trained designer, you don't know what to feed it.
Sure. Sure.
So I think, again, we're off on a tangent, but I think that's what'll happen. I think there'll absolutely be value, but I think it's going to be the more senior level experienced ideas and designers and photographers and whatever else. I think there'll still be a need for that. I just see the lower level, you know, B and C teams kind of being cut out of the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, or having to be an internal resource, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's what'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, we're all beholden. We've talked about SEO on this podcast a lot. I mean, we're all beholden to the machines, right? And like, hey, we're all trying to not game the system, but we're trying to work the machines to our benefit. So when a human is searching for something through this magical machine portal, right? We appear, right? Pretty soon there's going to be no, it's just going to be machine to try to trick us into finding what we didn't know we were looking for, right?
Yeah.
So we don't need those B and C or D level teams anymore, because it's all just machine created, you know, content, right? Yeah. I sound like I sound like some crazy Matrix conspiracy theorist, whatever, you know what I mean? But write a blog article about this, whatever, you know what I mean? It's just, again, I keep saying mediocrity is the new X. It's just content. As soon as we devalued everything by calling it content, it just kind of goes into the tidal wave of stuff that's out there,
yeah.
You know, which, you know, I don't know how to bring that back around again to clients come and clients go. And sometimes it's the most powerful word is no, but you know, there is a value to what obviously clients provide and what they do, right? And there's a value to what we do and what we provide for them, right? To help them get to where they want to go. You know, I guess it's kind of under the umbrella of once we get them to where they need to go, right? And are successful.
Yeah.
It's time to, you know, fly away, like little dogs.
It's like when the kids go off to college, it's like, I've done my job. I've hopefully prepared you for success.
It's a weird feeling, you know what I mean? And we've been through these battles for decades now, right? And it doesn't make it easier or whatever. It's still kind of the same thing, you know, but it's it's a trip. It's just, it is.
Yeah. Here's the fundamental difference. When your kids go off to college, you don't want them calling you for money. Yeah. When your clients go away, you kind of want them calling you for money
That's a very good point. No, that's a very, very, yeah, you never really hear from them again. Do you know what I mean? Although it should be noted that we have had clients move on to other places only to
come back.
Only to return, right?
And significant ones as well. Yeah,
absolutely. So that should be noted too as a testament of, you know, how we run the business and what we do and the value there is that, like, hey, yeah, you thought the grass, well, it doesn't even matter the reason why anyone
left.
But it was, you know, hey, what a great phone call I just got. You'll never believe who just, you know, like,
yeah,
those, I still kind of get a kick out of that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the boomerang has come back around again. Well, like, this is awesome.
File it under the never burn any bridges. You never know. Yeah. But yeah, it's great when clients are gone for, I mean, years.
Yeah.
And then hit you back and say, hey, well, let's get the band back. We always say it. Let's get the band back together.
Yeah. We're doing a reunion.
We love a reunion tour. Reunion tour.
That's funny. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I guess it's one of those things, you know, I don't know how many agency podcasts are talking about losing clients, but it is something that happens. I mean, clients come and clients go and it's not always a bad thing for both sides of the fence.
For both sides.
Yeah.
So we're turning that frown upside down.
Yeah. Where can those new clients find us, Rob?
That's right. Well, I'll tell you where they can find us.
Yeah.
I presume many of them are listening to this podcast right now.
Absolutely. Like,
we got to call these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. They're in need of a new client.
So let's call them now. No, you can find us right on the YouTubes and, of course, at mocktheagency.com and on all the socials. We're not tough to find. And I think that brings us to an end for 157.
And scene.
We'll see you back here for 158.
See you next time.